Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Ed Chu and Francine Foss. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center, and he's an internationally recognized expert on colorectal cancer. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, and she's an expert in the treatment of lymphomas. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, we welcome Dr. Dehua Zheng. Dr. Zheng is a surgical oncologist from China and a visiting fellow at the Yale Cancer Center.
Dehua, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us this evening. Maybe we can start off by telling us a little bit about your own background.
Thank you. I grew up in Fuzhou City in southeast China and finished medical school at the first military medical university in Guangzhou City in south of China. In a university, there is a good school of traditional Chinese medicine. Although my major was modern medicine, I also learned something of principle, philosophy, and treatment techniques of traditional Chinese medicine. After graduation, I did my surgical training and got my PhD degree at Chinese PLA General Hospital in Beijing. And then I became an attending surgeon in transplant center of the same hospital.
Dehua, could you tell us what brought you halfway around the world to visit us here at the Yale Cancer Center?
Oh, this is a good question. I'm very interested in immune regulation for transplant patients. As you know, immune regulation is an optimal way for us to treat allograft rejection and graft versus host disease. Over the last 3 years ago, I read papers about photopheresis, an immunotherapy devised by Dr. Allison's research team at Yale. Quite remarkably, a photopheresis proved to be effective in both turning on immune reaction against at least one cancer, CTCL, and turning off undesirable autoimmune reaction without significant side effect in autoimmune disorder and rejection of a transplant organ. But up to now, the exact scientific mechanism of photopheresis has not been fully understood. So I visited here to establish collaboration with Dr. Allison and Dr. Foss for further study. Maybe we can use some theory of a traditional Chinese medicine to explain the clinical efficacy of photopheresis.
And photopheresis, as you know, involves methoxysorolin, which comes from a lime, which is really a natural substance. And so in some way, I think there are a lot of connections between the photopheresis process and some of the traditional medicine that you're probably familiar with.
And maybe just to let our listeners out there maybe appreciate a little bit better, Dr. Foss, who is my co-host for the show, really was one of the pioneers in trying to develop photopheresis as an approach strategy to reduce the incidence of graft versus host disease, which unfortunately is so common in patients who undergo stem cell transplantation.
That's right, Ed. In fact, it's very exciting for us, having taken photopheresis from cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which is essentially a cancer, a lymphoma, into the arena of graft rejection, graft versus host disease for bone marrow transplant. And it's particularly exciting for me to have Dehua here representing the whole field of transplant and solid organ transplantation in China and around the world to now look at applying photopheresis as a process to prevent organ rejection. So this has been a very exciting collaboration for us.
Yeah, no, that's great. In fact, actually, Dehua, I was going to ask you, so back in China, you said you were focused on transplantation, but maybe you can tell us, you know, what specifically were you involved with? Is transplantation for hematologic malignancies, leukemia, lymphoma, or transplantation of solid tumors. Maybe just tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. Our hospital is the biggest hospital in Beijing, and our transplant program is the biggest one in the army military service. And our transplant center is also a comprehensive transplant center. We perform kidney transplantation, liver transplantation, heart transplantation, and bone marrow transplantation for hematology malignancy. The very serious problem for transplantation is rejection and the GVHD. So we are very happy we can have an opportunity to establish the collaboration with Yale Cancer Center and Yale Dermatology to develop a new immunoregulation therapy.
So, Dehua, a lot of our listeners are probably not familiar with how medicine is practiced in China. And you've had the opportunity while you're here to make rounds with me and to see how the cancer center works and how we approach the clinical care of cancer patients here in the United States. And I wonder if you could just let our audience know how you would compare that to the way things are done in China.
In modern Western medicine here is very different from Chinese traditional one. I would like to say Western medicine is a mechanics and a quantitative construct of science prevail. Whereas in the traditional Chinese medicine is organismic quantitative schemata describe individuals as resilient dynamic ecosystem, whereas the focus of medical science is upon the pathologic entity here. And Chinese traditional medicine draw upon a natural centered cosmology that emphasizes the relationship between the seed and the soil. What is it about the terrain that permits a cancer or any disease or to take root? In our ancestors' belief, human body is a small universe which is connected with the big universe around us by some special energy channels.
So, Dehua, it sounds like maybe we need to kind of maybe simplify it a little bit for our listeners. So I get the sense your feeling is that maybe here in the United States and in the Western countries, we focus so much on laboratory results, what the x-rays show, and we look at the numbers, so to speak, whereas perhaps maybe in China and the more traditional Chinese Eastern approach is to kind of look at the patient and look at the whole body as it is, and maybe not so much on the numbers. Is that accurate, do you think?
In China, we also use modern medicine. But at the same time, we use traditional Chinese thinking. Just like as you say, when we use traditional Chinese thinking, we pay attention to the patient's overall feeling and their symptoms. Because sometimes people have some bad feeling or symptoms, but if you use some machines or images or laboratory tests, you find nothing.
Right. So I know a lot of people always sometimes in Taiwan and in China, where I've visited quite frequently, they talk about a patient being hot or a patient being cold. And the Chinese physician can tell just sometimes based on feeling the pulse, looking at the tongue, or just feeling the temperature of the skin. What's your experience been in that regard?
Usually we look the tones of color, and also we feel the pulse. Yeah, because we have yin and yang theory, and yin and yang cannot live without each other.
Right. So there needs to be a balance, right, within the system, within an individual's body.
This is not a simple balance. Uh-huh. Just like a harmonious balance, yin and yang can mix together and then become a vital energy. That's in Chinese means qi. This vital energy can flow through the way of the meridian system. This is the system which connect our small universe to the outside universe.
So when you see a patient with cancer, then you're thinking about that patient on a number of different levels. You're obviously thinking about the disease itself and what you can measure on the x-rays and what the pathology tells you about the cancer cells, but you're also looking at the patient from a different perspective, as you just mentioned, with respect to the whole person and sensing perhaps differences in energy and disruptions in these meridians that you're describing. So when you treat a patient with cancer then, are you using multiple modalities for treatment, or are you sticking pretty much to the way we approach the patient, which is chemotherapy and supportive care?
Oh, yeah. We combine the Western medicine, as you mentioned, as a standard treatment. Then we combine this standard treatment with our our alternative treatment, just like acupuncture to relieve the pain after surgery, to help the people's recovered from chemotherapy and radiation.
So is it common in China then that all physicians treating cancer patients would utilize all of these different modalities of treatment?
Nearly 70% maybe the patients with cancers when they performing surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy, they will simultaneously have some traditional Chinese medicine, just like herbals or acupuncture or meditation or something.
Daniel, just curious, so in your own practice, you're obviously a surgeon trained in modern Western-style medicine, but in your own clinical practice, do you prescribe some of these what we would call complementary alternative approaches?
Yeah, sometimes when I find the patient's pain is very severe, and if you're using the pain medication, you will have some more side effect, and maybe some pain medication can suppress the breathing. So at this time, we use acupuncture or acupressure, or sometimes we inject some drugs, very little drugs, into some acupuncture spot. So if you inject some drugs into this special spot, you can enhance the efficiency of the drug.
We're going to return in a few minutes to talk a little bit more about traditional Chinese medicine. You're listening to Yale Cancer Center Answers, and we're here discussing cancer care in China with Dr. Dehua Zhang.
It's estimated that over 2 million men in the U.S. are currently living with prostate cancer. 1 in 6 American men will develop prostate cancer in the course of his lifetime. Major advances in the detection and treatment of prostate cancer have dramatically decreased the number of men who die from this disease. Screening for prostate cancer can be performed quickly and easily in a physician's office using 2 simple tests, a physical exam and a blood test. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for prostate cancer. Patients enrolled in these trials are given access to experimental medicines not yet approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, and you'll find more information at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Francine Foss, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and Dr. Dehua Zhang, a visiting fellow from China. So we talked a little bit about Chinese medicine and how it's very different from traditional Western medicine. And Dehua, can you go through a little bit more about the differences in your mind between what you've seen here, your experiences at the Yale Cancer Center, and how you practice medicine in China?
In Yale Cancer Center, I find all of you only use modern medicine to their patients. Very few of physicians knows about Chinese medicine. So when the peoples get some problems with chronic pain or when they have some sub health problems, so you have no drugs to alleviate them. So I think at this time, Chinese traditional medicine, the objective of our medicine is to help the people live more healthier and help the people to recover from their damaging therapies. So I think if we can combine these two, you will get the more powerful therapeutic effect for the patients.
You know, one thing that I found very fascinating as I've had a chance to visit, you know, the Chinese traditional herbalists in China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, throughout Asia, that the doctors' offices are actually embedded within the food markets. Actually, so they're next to the fruits and vegetables, the fish market, the meat market. And so it's amazing to me that individuals will go every day to get their fruits, veggies, meats, and fish. And then at some point, they'll actually then go to the herbalist's office to then get their either tea or an extract of various herbs, and then take that to help with whatever medical condition they might have. What's been your experience?
In my experience, I would like to say, in China, traditional medicine, food and a drug is connect very, very closely. Food, sometimes food is drug. Drug is food. No isolation from each other. So so our Chinese traditional medicine have more than herbal and acupuncture. We also have dietary therapy.
And Ed and I have both been at the National Cancer Institute, where for a large number of years now, there's been a natural products division that has really screened a lot of different foods and natural substances and identified not only new cancer drugs, but also antioxidants and other things that are beneficial for health.
I guess what's interesting is, though, I guess, it is amazing that there are warehouses full of extracts from all around the world. It's really quite remarkable. But I guess the typical approach that I know the NCI has taken and here in the United States and other Western countries is to try to take these barks and trees and whatever extracts and try to isolate the most active ingredient. Whereas I think my sense is in kind of traditional Chinese herbal medicine, it's what you talked about in the first part of our program is that it's not just a single active agent, but it's kind of all of the different agents in a particular herbal or extract working together, kind of complete balance of that extract.
Yes, this is the if you would like to understand why Chinese herbal medicine have so many compounds, this is our ancient tradition of Confucianism. You know, Confucianism, in Confucianism theory, they have said they said in a country we should have a king and a minister and some messengers or some other officials. They work together. Then under the rule of the king, then so this country will be harmony. Then this country, just like a human body, if you use drug, you just like a hierarchy of the society. Some compounds is king compound, some compound is minister, some compound is messenger. Everyone is important. If you lose this one, maybe without messenger or king cannot deliver the message to the minister, maybe. So if you only take one compound, maybe this compound will lose the efficacy for the disease treatment.
Yeah. So, Dehua, to what degree are these compounds and these mixtures standardized in China? So if you go from one herbalist to another and you get essentially the same mixture, will it really be the same composition?
No. Maybe it depends on the herbalist experience or as their fluence of preparing these drugs. And also, you know, in China, herbal is not the same when it is in spring, when it's in autumn, and in winter. Same herbal does not have the same function. We say just like a human body, we are an ecosystem. If the outer environment is changing, the inner ecosystem is changing, and so you should use your some diagnosis of symptoms and the disease, individualize to this patient, and to make the preparation of the drug. That's a mixture of the compounds is right for the patients.
Now, Dehua, you know, Chinese traditional herbal medicine has been practiced for, I guess, 2,000-3,000 years, you know, going back to historical times. And just in your lifetime, right, as a practicing physician, have you seen much in the way of changes to the overall approach to the use of, you know, traditional Chinese medicine?
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, in China, traditional Chinese herbalist also learn Western medicine. So, and peoples, Chinese peoples, will not see Western medicine and Eastern medicine as controversial things. They think they are united together. So Western medicine also have some impact on traditional Chinese medicine. Just like you say, we can add some compounds into some traditional mixture to make the treatment efficacy more than before sometimes.
So, Ed, you've been working with Dr. Chang at Yale to develop herbal medicines in the treatment of cancer and the side effects associated with cancer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked, Francine, because it really has been a fascinating story. And I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, as you know, our good friend and colleague, Professor Chang in pharmacology, who's had a longstanding interest in Chinese herbal medicine, identified a very interesting herbal made up of four main herbs, and then within that four main herbs, we've now been able to identify up to 64-65 individual components. And this herb has been used, I guess, in everyday practice in China, Taiwan, the Orient, for the treatment of diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, fatigue. And so we've actually been studying it in combination with Western chemotherapy as in the hopes of actually trying to reduce the side effects. Because as you know, many of the side effects, in particular for drugs that are used for colorectal cancer, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, are in fact diarrhea, belly cramps, nausea, vomiting, weight loss, fatigue. And already in some of the studies that we've done here at the Yale Cancer Center and also at the VA hospital, we found that this herb, which is called PHY906, can indeed actually reduce the GI side effects. And right now, our good friend and colleague, Dr. Wasif Saif, is the principal investigator. Myself and Dr. Lacey are also part of that study, as well as Dr. Chang, looking at this herb in combination with a drug called irinotecan for patients who have metastatic colorectal cancer. And at least it's still early. We're in what's called the phase one part. We're planning a larger phase two study. But so far, it looks like the drug is this herb helps patients tolerate the chemotherapy drug much better.
That's a really interesting story, Ed, and it reminds me of one of my patients that I saw back when I was in Boston a number of years ago, who was an elderly Chinese gentleman who had really end-stage metastatic pancreatic cancer. And we really couldn't offer him anything more. But his family took him home, and he was on an herbal therapy. And I actually saw him back a year later, and the gentleman's cancer had stabilized or stopped growing, and he was actually feeling very well. He was in his 80s, and he really looked very well and very fit. So, of course, we physicians were all wondering what was in that herbal preparation. But I think the story just goes to show you that there really are a lot of things that we physicians don't know. And perhaps physicians in China now going back for about 2,000 years have been using this kind of medicine. So Dehua, can you offer any suggestions or insight for our listeners in terms of, you know, if patients here wanted to think about alternative therapies or herbal medicines, can you offer insights into, you know, how they might go about doing that?
Oh, maybe if they can visit China to find the very experienced herbalist or traditional Chinese practitioner, that will be perfect. Because, you know, here in the United States, some practitioners only use the preparation of the drugs, but they don't differentiate the symptoms, the disease. They cannot grasp this ability. So if they cannot grasp this ability, this will be dangerous for them to give the preparation of a Chinese traditional herbal.
Okay, on that note, I think we unfortunately have to end the program this evening. You've been listening to Yale Cancer Center Answers, and I'd like to thank our special guest for this evening's show, Dr. Dehua Zhang from China, from Beijing, China, for joining us. And we look forward to having you on a future show when you come back to visit us here at the Yale Cancer Center. Until next time, I'm Ed Chu from the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions or would like to share your comments, go to yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.